much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, everybody. First on the agenda, free talk. Couple of ground rules. No shop talk. Also, no religion or politics. Too divisive. Also, don't tell a story about someone we don't all know. It makes people feel excluded. Other than that, sky's the limit.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I used to think flatulence was something to laugh about. Truth is, 300 million Americans a day expel gas through their anus. To learn more about flatulence, you can visit my ass.
I'm here with Goose the Cat. Goose, what was it like working alongside the talented and lovely Brie Larson?
It was perfect.
That is what champions are made of.
Whoa, whoa, ho, ho, whoa, you're a little excited.
And now,
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. And it's Rodney on the Rocks. We're still honking out hits.
Our feature presentation.
We've never honked out hits.
No.
Oh,
no.
I don't know.
I feel like we should honk.
We should look into it at least.
We should at least, yeah, yeah, make an effort to
He's
honk.
He's honking out hits before we even started.
Yeah.
And we've never gotten to that point.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder if there's like a consultant, like a honking consultant that could walk us through it.
Honking the hits?
Yeah, because you can't just all of a sudden honk the hits. You've
right.
gotta build up to a honk.
Yeah, and I don't know what steps to take.
Yeah. We gotta look into it.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. It's Wednesday morning, the 12th of February.
Hi.
I was talking to my daughter last night and she heard us talking about the Wiggles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was telling Jensen, who's saying he's never going to do that, I was saying, careful with you're never going to, because yeah. when your kid wants to,
you do it.
You'll do anything. And I didn't remember specifically if I had been to the Wiggles or not,
mm-hmm.
but it turns out I have been to the Wiggles.
You've been to a show?
I've been to a show.
Oh, nice.
And according to my daughter, I was standing up and dancing.
I don't doubt it. They've got
at the
some
Wiggles.
Hits.
Bops.
Yeah.
This was me.
Hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato,
hot spaghetti.
Give them time.
Okay. Potato. Wait for it.
Cold spaghetti, cold spaghetti. Cold spaghetti,
cold spaghetti. Cold spaghetti, cold spaghetti. Allie, are you a Wiggles groupie?
I'm a Wiggles head.
She's doing the moves.
Yeah, I think she's a Wiggles groupie.
I love the Wiggles.
Apparently, I was doing that same dance there.
Yeah, you were?
And I was. That was a fascinating thing to find out. Because I think feel like maybe I had blocked it out.
Do all their songs sound like a sock hop?
Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, they're all for kids.
Spaghetti, cold spaghetti, 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 spaghetti.
What's next?
Ah,
is that ah?
It's a party. It's a party.
Bridge.
I like those low voice guys.
Mashed banana, mashed banana.
Mashed banana.
I mean, they're Australian.
You're saying mashed banana.
Banana.
They're Australian.
Mashed banana, mashed banana.
I think you're going to be doing that, Jensen.
No, I'm not.
I know you say that, but
no.
I said that.
My kid's going to be like, more Mac Miller, please.
No, your kid's going to be like, yo, gabba gabba, me dad. You're going to be like, no problem. I've also been to one of their shows.
What are you doing?
Yo, gabba gabba, a bunch of friends and I got drunk.
Drunk?
And
okay, that's
Staples.
The key.
And, but they're a blast. They have
Biz Markie. DJ Lance.
It's so fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
You're gonna Jensen.
I'm not gonna be
like
great.
Just give into it.
I'm not gonna be great.
You don't have to be great at it. You're just gonna want to see your kid happy, and that's it.
Is Barney still a thing?
I don't think so.
I think he's extinct. He's gone.
He's
right?
not a real dinosaur.
I think he's still a thing.
Okay, good.
Whoa! Give me that. Hot potato.
Back to hot potato.
Oh, I mean, it's a jam, though, right?
I mean, it is a jam.
I love that your daughter was like, not only did you let me experience it, Dad, mm-hmm. but you did the moves and sang along at a
mm-hmm.
concert.
Yeah, that happened.
I imagine.
I also took video, but it was video of them. I was like,
nice.
If I could find myself at a Wiggles concert, that would be great.
Yeah.
I imagine Allie like moshing at the Wiggles or at Yo Gabba Gabba.
Allie, did you steal kids and take them with you?
No, we had no kids,
alone.
Which made it even weirder at Yo Gabba Gabba. But to the point where a friend at Staples was like, really? Just you guys? Just
Did they hide you someplace?
No, we had fourth row, six adults. We were partying. Hmm. I've got video of it. A friend, DJ Newmark, was with me, who you know, Jensen. But
you have video that we could see?
Absolutely.
That you will show us?
Absolutely. Okay. But the video is the best because my friend Zach, who goes by Z-Trip, he's another DJ, just digging it, having the time of his life. And then I pan over at Newmark, who's just sitting, looking miserable. And I scream at him in this video. And he's like, oh, fine. It is fun times with Yo Gabba Gabba, you guys. Don't me. When I show you the video, you're going to be like, why wasn't I there?
My kid's going to be into very adult things. He's going to be like, do you want to play backgammon? And he'll be like, four.
So your kid's going to be a nerd.
He's going to be dweeby. I'm setting him up to be a real goon.
Luckily, you're not the only parent.
I mean, let's see. She loves silence as well. She loves just sitting in the house. That's going to be his pastime's going to be silence.
It's not, though.
It might.
What if Adler turns out to be, like, the biggest rock star? Like, can't wait to get out and just experience everything. And then Jensen and Danielle have to leave the house to support him and things. And they're like, could you go on at 8? And he's like, no, I'm a big rock star.
I'm going on at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
We'll build a stage in the house for us and the pets.
Oh, my God. Poor Adler.
At the end of the day, Adler's going to win this. There's no question.
For sure.
He's not gonna
Jensen's going to be doing everything that we're describing.
Yeah.
And he's not. And he's going to be happy to do it.
He's going
to
be into chilling.
Let's see the cold spaghetti
He's
dance.
Be into chilling.
Cold spaghetti. Okay,
we can do it in the house. It doesn't mean we have to go to the concert.
Oh, it's such a different feeling.
You're
going
to need to go to the concert.
Yeah.
When you see whoever the Wiggles are when he gets old enough.
You see that blue Wiggle. He'll probably be replaced 5 times by then. But, but for now, Anthony, you know.
Ellie knows more about the Wiggles than
I do.
Terrifying. It's a little scary.
It's
a little scary.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin in the Morning show, shall we?
Winking my butthole.
Oh.
Mm. Okay. The Fast Food Report Valentine's edition.
Oh, yeah. It's very romantic.
Love that. We're going to be life coaches. This is a service that we offer.
Is it?
Yes.
Do we want that?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we have great wisdom.
Yes.
And with great wisdom comes great responsibility.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to be life coaches today.
So we're imparting that wisdom to callers that have issues.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
You know, gosh, this is really, this is an extra bonus. We're not even charging for it.
Okay.
Get up on this,
because
it's Wednesday. You cried in front of a stranger.
Aww.
And also Jeff Probst, the host of Survivor, which is in its 40th season.
Not a joke.
I was going to say, are you doing a joke?
I'm not doing a joke.
Okay.
40th season.
That seems like a joke.
It does, I know. Because after the first season, Beat and I said, okay, that's it. That show's done.
Yeah,
you after guys the first
have
season.
A great track record
we really
of calling shows.
We did Dancing with the Stars. We said it wouldn't even go the full season, the first season.
Right.
It turns out we were a little wrong on that.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff Probst will be here with the 40th season of Survivor.
Wow.
Too many.
That's coming up later on this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Kevin in the Morning, Allie and Jensen. Mm-hmm. Allie, first look at what's happening.
Kevin, I follow Richard Blade on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Blade said a couple days ago, listen, on Tuesday, there's going to be a huge announcement at 12 noon.
Right.
Trust me, it's going to be something you'll talk to your friends about. You're going to want to listen. I'm going to post something about it. Just tune in. And I was like, ooh, Richard Blade.
Right.
What is he talking about? Is Oasis getting back together?
It like does my mind. A lot of connections in the music world.
A ton of connections. Yeah. Is he going to bring Depeche Mode into the Hall of Fame? Will he be the one? And then he said in the tweet, he's like, this has nothing to do with Depeche Mode in the Hall of Fame, so stop your guessing.
Hmm.
And I was like, why is he talking right to me?
Was the announcement going to be the entire plot and story of his book in one sitting?
Listen, I wasn't here for that interview, and I feel like it would have gone much different had
I
been here.
It saved us from reading the book.
It was a bit of a spoiler alert. He came in here to promote a book, told us the whole book.
Okay.
Having said that, we love him.
And the book sounded
so
good. By the way, the book sounded good. I'm going to go on a limb and say that he did it really well.
Yeah. Listen.
Great story.
You guys not knowing how to conduct an interview
that's
not
what it was.
On him.
No, agreed.
Here's what he announced yesterday. The Cruel World Festival, a one-day festival, brand new, set to take place May 2nd at the grounds at Dignity Health Sports Park in Los Angeles, which was a weird way for me to find out that StubHub has been renamed.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yes, but it doesn't say the grounds at. That sounds like it's outside the stadium.
I don't know.
Huh.
The grounds at Dignity Health Sports Park in Los Angeles.
Yeah, because that's where the Galaxy play, yeah.
You knew that their name was Dignity Health Sports Park?
Yes.
All right. Well, now I know.
For like a year.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. But tell us who's on the bill.
I don't want to know.
Well, I think that's important.
Come on. That's the whole story.
Here's who's on the bill. And if you listen to K-Rock at any point in your life, these were some of your favorite bands. You've got Morrissey, Bauhaus, Blondie, Devo, Psychedelic Furs, Echo and the Bunnymen, Violent Femmes, The Church, English Beat, P.I.L., Gary Numan, Gene Loves, Jezebel? What? Berlin, Bad Manners, Missing Persons. She Wants Revenge for a little new flavor for you.
This sounds amazing.
It sounds incredible. This is like my dream K-Rock festival right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Tickets for Cruel World will go on sale this Friday, February 14th. What a great Day gift at noon. And pre-sale is going to start tomorrow at noon Pacific. You can register for a pre-sale code on the festival's website. This is huge.
I haven't seen a show get that kind of attention locally online ever.
No. And of course it's Golden Voice.
Yeah.
So behind, you know, Coachella, Stagecoach, all the festivals you want to go to. But this is incredible. And of course everyone starts saying, oh, what's going to happen when Morrissey drops out? Oh, I don't know. It gets better. Like, it's a better festival.
We'll be able to eat beef.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring the beef back in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, this is going to be a blast.
It sounds great.
And May 2nd, so it's not going to be super hot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already thinking, because, I mean, these bands, you wear a lot of black,
yeah, sure.
a lot of goth kids in there, so you don't want to be hot, sweating off your pale makeup.
Right.
You guys, honestly.
That's exciting. That sounds cool.
I posted about this on my Instagram. I have friends that were like, I'm flying out. I'm coming. I will be there. Which was cute, because I think they were also saying they'll stay with me, which
they're staying with you.
That is so not going to happen. Guys, a lot of rumors with The Bachelor. None of us watch it, but wouldn't this be a coup? He is down to four women. The dude's name is Peter Weber. Rumors are flying about who he'll choose, because a lot of people are saying, pretty sure he's in a relationship with a producer from the series named Julie LaPlaca. People pointed out that his father, the Bachelor's father, posted a photo from New Year's Eve of LaPlaca out to dinner with the family in New York City. Then she's been tagged in photos wearing Seahawks attire, which is his favorite football team.
Doesn't she, as a producer, know she can't have that happen?
There's a lot of rules against that.
Yeah. I would think.
But...
wow.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I just hope he finds love.
Oh, my gosh. You know? Hope she's there for all the right reasons other than her job.
I hope she's not there to make friends. When he announces who he picks, do you think he says, oh, it's a producer, and she, like, walks out from behind the camera? Like, do you think it's all involved in the show?
It might be. How could it not be?
I don't think they could. I don't think...
Well...
they're not hiding it now, is what she's saying.
The network's senior vice president of alternative series spoke to Entertainment Tonight and said, well, I hate to get in the way of a good rumor, so I'm not going to confirm or deny about whether he ends up with the producer. He ends up with the producer.
Weird.
I mean, this is all very odd.
Huh.
Am I going to have to watch The Bachelor? No, I'm not.
I've tried a couple times, and it's rough.
It's and then they have like four nights in a row, and it's like 17 hours each.
It's a lot, yeah.
Seems like a lot, you guys.
It's one of those shows that replays something from the commercial break before for 8 minutes.
No,
you know that thing where it's like
a full recap of what's happened in the first 10 minutes.
Exactly, every time. So the whole show itself is only about 20 minutes, but it takes about 2 hours to get through.
That is the worst,
mm-hmm.
you guys. Cruel World Fest.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great. That.
I'm really excited. I'm also excited about how I now know what Jensen's doing this weekend. And I'll have that story coming up.
All right.
Tease.
I don't even think he knows.
Okay.
Good times, you guys. Some birthdays for you. Josh Brolin, Arsenio Hall, Christina Ricci, and Mike Posner. And that's what's happening.
Roman Reigns. Mm. Next. So let's talk about the fast food report, Jensen. Is this a special one? A very special episode?
Oh, yes. This is the very special Valentine's Day fast food report.
The fast food report is going to make you hot. It's going to touch you and tickle you in the right spot. The fast food report.
Fast food. Read it.
The fast food report is on the air now. So come on, get hungry. It's time to talk chow. The fast food report. Oh, yeah. Okay. Rub it all over your body.
Like saying beat it now. It just feels different.
I mean, it's the Valentine's Day fast food report, and I don't know when this started, but Valentine's Day has weirdly become a fast food focused holiday.
Okay.
And some couples are eyeing the fanciest and hardest to get, you know, reservations.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
But based on the way that these franchise restaurants prep for February 14th, you have to think that business really picks up for drive-through romance.
Really?
I mean, for real. No, I'm telling you, there are very little holidays that have this much of a response in the QSR industry. Valentine's Day, almost across the board, everyone has something.
I love it when you say QSR, like anyone knows what that means.
It's quick service restaurants. Okay. Many spots have special dates or preset menu items for lovebirds stopping by.
Okay.
But we're going to focus on places that have created something new, something special for those dining in the glow of love.
All right.
All right. So it's the czar of QSR, the catch-all of cholesterol, the fast food fat daddy, El Champion, and Joaquin Phoenix's worst nightmare. So let's get this moving. Let's start at Boston Market, where they are not only taking this Friday very serious, they're changing the game with something they're calling the Bay Bye Back Ribs Bouquet.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's right. Bay Bye, spelled B-A-E, or millennial speak for before anyone else, which is a term of endearment for your one and only.
Sure.
Now, this alternative to flowers or chocolates or any other basic bitch gifts, but it's offered only on Valentine's Day. They are limited edition.
Okay.
Only available while supplies last. Mm-hmm. It is one dozen baby back ribs assembled in a classic bouquet style, just like flowers, with paper wrapping at the bottom. We have posted a photo of it right now at Kevin Mornings on Twitter and Instagram. It looks like a total mess of barbecue sauce, especially on a date. You, like, hand it to a lady like flowers.
Yes.
But inside are a dozen baby back ribs. Mm.
Wow.
It costs you $29.99, and every kiss from that point will taste like charcoal. But I do have to ask you one thing. With all of this in mind, mm-hmm. the Bay Bye Back Ribs Bouquet, let them bloom, this sounds rad, or let my wife run off with my dad, eat it or beat it, let's start with mugs!
All I gotta say, Jensen, once I find a Boston Market anywhere around this land of ours...
It's not easy.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. Yes!
Eat it.
Oh, no. We have a sexy eat it?
Allie?
I hated the eat it, but mm-hmm. I need to hear it again.
Eat it.
So you, if a man was trying to woo you mm-hmm. and brought you this baby back ribs bouquet...
I'd be like, honestly, let me just eat a few of these mm-hmm. and then I'll thank you.
Sounds good. Kevin?
I'm the same. I will eat that.
Eat it.
Very good. In celebration of Valentine's 2020, we move on to Bojangles, a Cajun fast food franchise, mostly focused in the Northeast, but ready to aim for the middle of your heart. Only through this Sunday can you purchase heart-shaped Bo-Berry biscuits. They are made from scratch and baked into heart-shaped buttermilk biscuits with blueberry bits stuffed inside and a drizzle of sweet vanilla icing on top.
Mm.
Now, they run a little over a dollar each, which is a steal and a way to be very cheap with your love interest. So these are heart-shaped. Keep that in mind. That's also very Valentine's-based. So I ask you, lovebirds, this! Heart-shaped Bo-Berry biscuits from Bojangles. Give me that sweetness shaped like a heart or bend over in my face and let off a fart. Eat it or beat it. Let's go to Allie!
Good Lord. Honestly, mm-hmm. The fact that they're called Bo-Berries mm-hmm. delights me. I'm going to eat it.
Bojangles. All right, Mugs?
I'd like to call that girl Bojangles and eat that.
Eat it.
That's a Ying Yang Twins lyric.
All right, fair. Everyone knows
Good call.
That. Speaking directly to the audience. Kevin?
Whatever's the opposite of the fart in the face. I think it's eat it, yeah.
All right. Oh, you wanted it. You wanted
to
eat it. All right, you got to take that back. All right, so let's move on to a place that means a whole lot to us. It's time for a little...
Chick-fil-A!
They might not want you to dine with your same-sex partner, but... They're still prepping for Friday with a focus on the packaging. Running only through February 29th, you can stop by any participating Chick-fil-A to pick up a 30 count of their nuggets, a 10 count of their chicken minis, or a 6 count of their chocolate chunk cookies. But the real headliner here, you get them in a heart-shaped box.
Oh.
It's much like you'd see with chocolates on this special day, but when you open up the heart, instead of various flavored treats, you get...
Chicken!
Honestly, it's just a silver tin. No bells or whistles here at all. But with Chick-fil-A, they barely ever do something outside of their norm, so it's worth talking about, and cut them some slack. So in case you're looking for a way to utilize this gift, Chick-fil-A on their website suggests this. Okay? Quote, unquote. There's nothing wrong with snuggling up with your sweetheart in a cozy bed, especially if you both also get to enjoy your favorite Chick-fil-A breakfast item. Give them a surprise with a heart-shaped container filled with chicken minis for a memory that will last forever.
Is that a memory that will last forever?
Pretty romantic,
ew.
Right?
No, okay. It's creepy as hell.
So with this in mind, we come to the question. Put all the chicken in a heart willingly or watch a marathon and my feet are killing me. Eat it or beat it. I'm looking at you, Allie.
Honestly, I still have never had Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to continue that streak.
Beat it.
Mugs.
Despite their recent past controversy, I love me some Chick-fil-A, and I'm going to snuggle up by myself with the heart-shaped box,
that's
rub
really
it all over my body, and then pour it down my gullet.
That's
Oh, what a homophobic thing to say. Kevin, eat it or beat it.
I don't want to eat it in my bed. Do I have to eat it in my bed?
No, it's not necessary.
No, it's not on the website. You
okay, then you do.
Yeah,
okay, then no, I'm going to beat it.
Beat it.
All right, when you think date night, you think Red Lobster. That's just common knowledge.
Sure.
And now our friends at RL are doing something about it. They're also focusing on the packaging. So feel the love by ordering half a dozen of the infamous Cheddar Bay biscuits from redlobster.com.
All right.
And spend an additional $1, and it's delivered to your sweetheart's door in a heart-shaped limited edition box.
Oh, my gosh.
And what does each box say, Kevin? It says, "You're my lobster." That's a nod to the television show Friends, and a popular line said by Phoebe, a cast member who will soon reunite in what is for sure going to be a disappointing television event. Now, we've went over the catchphrase and the seafood. It's time you catch on and see my food. Let's go to Red Lobster with no apologies or enroll me for classes of Scientology. Eat it or beat it. Let's go to Kev Dog.
Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat
it.
Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat it.
Where did you find that drop?
I don't know.
Eat it.
All right, Allie.
I am going to eat so much of that.
Eat it.
That would be a nice romantic thing to show up at your door with just these better biscuits. These
absolutely.
Cheddar Bay
biscuits are great.
They're beautiful. Mugs?
I have never had these Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Mugs!
So any lovely ladies out there that want to send me this to my door, I will eat it.
Eat it.
But someone has to send it to you.
Yeah,
you
I don't
can't
wanna,
leave your house.
No.
Yeah. And it's another extra dollar, so keep that in mind.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, lastly, you can't celebrate Valentine's Day without donuts, or at least that's a saying that Krispy Kreme hopes catches on, because they have made 24 different donuts for the holiday. May I introduce you to the Conversation Heart Donuts? Each of these heart-shaped donuts are topped with different edible messages, like the traditional sweetheart candies, which we all know, including the words crazy for you, I-L-Y-S-M, be mine, bae, I heart you, pick me, or XOXO. And they have four different classic fillings to choose from: cake batter, strawberries and cream, original cream, and chocolate cream filled. While the limited edition donuts are available individually, participating locations are offering the fan favorites as part of a special Valentine's dozen, of which it comes in a limited edition box. See, all of these places.
Boxes.
It's the box. It's always the box.
So after hearing
What's in the box?
After hearing about this labor of love, the Krispy Kreme Conversation Heart Donut, I have a question for you all. Words on my pastries, that sounds boss, or knife me and douse my cuts in hot sauce, eat it or beat it. Mugs, you tell me.
Words on my pastries, that sounds boss.
All right. Allie?
I think that sounds delightful, yes.
Order multiples of that, yes.
All 24?
Mm-hmm.
Collect all 24?
Yep.
Guys, I've given you enough information
yeah,
here.
You
if you don't take your woman to a fast food restaurant on Valentine's Day, it's on you.
You don't care.
And by woman, you mean hand?
No, Mugs.
Oh, Mugs.
That's the fast food report.
I'm sorry.
The fast food report.
Fast food.
Pally is here with a look at what's happening.
Remember when we did the segment about your favorite movies that have really low Rotten Tomatoes ratings?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Any of your favorite movies that had really low Rotten Tomatoes ratings get a sequel?
Oh, wow.
Nope.
Well,
no?
Probably not. No, not that I can think of.
Refresh me, Kevin. What was your movie that you picked for that segment?
What was my movie that I picked for that segment? I don't remember.
I mean, he doesn't remember what we did 5 minutes ago.
Jensen, refresh my memory. What was your movie?
I did Speed Racer.
And what was their Rotten Tomato score? Do you remember?
I think it was in the 50s.
In the 50s, yeah.
50s is way high.
Well, I mean,
for me,
it's an F.
Well, it turned out that the movie I picked
yes.
had the lowest of all of our scores.
Yeah, you were like in the late 20s?
I was 25% with my
good.
Pick, P.S. I Love You.
Uh-huh.
Guess what's getting a sequel, bitches?
Speed Racer?
No. P.S.
Oh.
I Love You.
Oh, your
yeah,
thing. Oh.
Yeah. Hilary Swank's P.S. I Love You is getting a sequel.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
A P.S. I Love You.
Okay. It came out in 2000.
I'm not sure that works.
I thought she was going to say P.S. I Love You, and then I was going to say P.S. I Love You, too. It would have been so cute.
I just left it. I left it hanging.
That's on Allie, then.
Who's there?
P.S. I Love You.
P.S. I Love You who?
P.S. I Love You, too.
Not worth it.
Did you follow that up by a fart in
no,
the toilet?
No, that's Sam yeah. with the, that's his pipe.
The Armenian Sorry. Comedian says he was playing a trombone, which was a PVC pipe, a white piece of pipe with a couple
what is
holes.
Wrong
oh, did
with
you never listen
you?
To the segment?
I don't
It was
know.
The first segment of this year.
Oh, no.
When we came in at 5:30.
Yeah.
It was Sam and I.
Yeah. I was in the other room.
And he
and
said, I have a trombone. And yeah. it was just one PVC pipe. And I was like, I don't know a lot about trombones, but don't they have a slide? Isn't that part of the actual instrument?
Anyway, your movie's coming back.
Yes.
Congratulations, Allie.
And you might be saying, does he die again? Like, what's going to happen? Well, apparently.
Oh, he died in the first one?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Look, who cares?
How dare you?
No, you
first
told us.
Of all.
He passed away and he leaves
these
things
notes
around, right?
It's just
beautiful.
It's
the whole plot, right?
It's the whole plot. But this is the follow up novel called Postscript that they acquired the film rights to. Here's what it's going to be about. It picks up 7 years after her husband's death when Holly's sister asks her to tell the story of the P.S. I Love You letters on her podcast. Oh, timely podcast.
Yeah.
Then they're just going to repeat the whole movie?
Yes. She's like, here's how it happened. And then they run P.S. I Love You again. Mm. It'll be great. I will tell you this. As much as we joke about that movie, mm-hmm. because it got a 25% Rotten Tomato score, when I post about P.S. I Love You, people respond
yeah.
like people's wives in this room. Jensen.
Yeah, I mean, she cried in public.
Cried in public
while
telling you the story.
Just telling me the plot. And then yesterday she was thrilled
yes.
to hear about the sequel and that she said this weekend I'm mm-hmm. being forced to watch it.
So you're going to watch P.S. I Love You this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Can you set up a camera, like
on
a
you?
Live stream, so we can just see your reaction?
I admit this. If I cry,
yeah, you'll tell
she'll
us.
Video it for us.
Oh, fantastic.
All right.
She'll be instructed that if Jensen starts to cry, please video.
Oh, I love this so much. It is such a great movie.
I was
Destiny
so happy
and I are
yesterday.
Thrilled. Amy from The Interrupters saw my post about
Look,
it.
Just
She's like,
you
I
get
can't
some,
wait.
Just because you get some crazy people that agree with you yeah. does not mean you're not crazy.
You're yeah. saying that Jensen's wife is
yes.
crazy?
Listen,
you're saying
clearly.
Destiny's crazy?
Yes.
You're saying Amy from The Interrupters
yes.
is crazy?
Listen, even
yes.
Charles Manson had followers. You know what I mean?
Wow.
People even believe in him.
I'm not sure I'd go there, but...
I mean, you guys are going to regret it. Going to regret it.
I think
honestly,
we'll be okay.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know about a sequel. What are you doing?
I don't know why. I would think that would be good for a reboot. If it was poorly
right.
done...
How dare you?
No, I'm saying if it was poorly done...
Do they find
take
new,
another run
Do
at
they
it.
Find new things? Is that what we're figuring?
I figure 7 years
Still dead.
After the death...
Oh, I found another piece of
paper.
He has
new stuff coming. Like a new wave of items for her.
He could.
That's what you would think.
Or it's going to follow, you know, what have you been up to the last 7 years?
Oh, like her new relationship?
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds great.
Thank you. God. So Macaulay Culkin opened up about his close friendship with Michael Jackson in the latest cover story for Esquire. He was quoted saying, "He never did anything to me. I never saw him do anything. The guy has passed on. If anything, I'm not going to say it would be stylish or anything like that, but right now is a good time to speak up." So he's saying, if something happened, yeah, I'd speak up now.
Oh,
because,
I see.
Hello, that's kind of what everyone's doing now. They're speaking up. But he said, no, never saw anything. Then he tells a story about seeing James Franco on a plane.
Yeah, this story is insane.
What?
It's bonkers.
I read the article and was like, this is yeah. a real weird article.
He said it was right after the documentary Leaving Neverland came out. And he goes, so that documentary. And I was like, uh-huh. Silence. So then he goes, so what'd you think? Mind you, this is on a plane. Mm-hmm. He's getting his luggage out of the little storage right there. He then said, I turn to him and I go, do you want to talk about your dead friend? And he sheepishly went, no, I don't. So I said, cool, man. Nice to see you. What? I would not want to be like in the middle of that conversation.
No. Sounds like the worst conversation ever.
Yes. You want to talk about your dead friend? No.
No, not really.
Okay, cool. Did you get the peanuts? Like, what's happening? That's a weird time.
That Macaulay Culkin article is very interesting, but the weird part about it is he's not promoting anything.
No.
Like, that's what the whole article's kind of about, is that he just wanted to do this photo shoot and figured it would be fun to do the article, which I think is kind of a fun way to have a career. Like, you're just like,
not do anything, but...
But he's not even... He even admits in the article, he's like, I have nothing to sell you. I have nothing... I'm not even thinking about doing movies or TV.
Hmm.
He's just like, just kind of wanted to be in this, have some cool photos taken.
It's a nice little catch-up with Macaulay Culkin. I love it. So we were talking earlier during the fast food report about getting something for your lover for Valentine's Day. Here's an interesting thing. If you are going to make a Valentine's meal for your husband, for your wife, for your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, don't underestimate the power of your tablescape.
What?
So how you kind of make the whole look come together. We're talking lighting. We're talking tablecloth. Are you going to put candles? What are you going to do? Because researchers found people who ate the same food in different settings rated the food quality as better and less salty when they ate it in a room with the lights dimmed and a tablecloth on the table.
Come on.
She can be a bad cook.
Yes.
And it tricks them into thinking it's good.
Absolutely.
Oh, I like it.
So just lower, just dim the lights, put a tablecloth, maybe some candles, and people are going to be like,
I can't really see the food, but it... tastes good.
Guys, I'm giving you great tips
here. I mean, yeah, sure. Is it that you, when you're looking at a more professional situation, your taste buds think it's more professional?
They probably think they spent a little more time. They know what they're doing
in
the kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
Got any pretzels?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat it.
That's later. Some birthdays for you. Josh Brolin, Arsenio Hall, Christina Ricci, and Mike Posner. And that's what's happening.
Coming up next, Get Up On This. Jensen, explain what Get Up On This is.
Every week I come to you and I bring you something that I think you should be up on, whether it's an app or a movie or a TV show or a song. I had this podcast for 10 years where I have a good track record as to getting you into things early. So I'm very excited this week to have another one. This is Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up.
Every single week we have on Dr. Drew. We've thrown numerous physical ailments at him. We've talked about a man who had a hose stuck up his butt for 3 weeks. We've talked about what to do during flu season. These are things we bother him about.
Our guest just left.
Okay. She needs to stay. But for years we had joked about Drew's obsession with the Los Angeles homeless problem and what he had predicted was going to happen. And now we see with our very own eyes Dr. Drew was right, something I don't love saying out loud.
We won't say it to him.
No. He's basically told us every 7 days, even when we don't ask, that we're facing an epidemic, right? The chance of a possible genocide of a total amount of people. And now anyone driving in the streets could see in any city these tent situations under bridges on any suburban street.
It seems to have squared itself. Like, it's crazy.
It is insane.
Yeah.
And I wanted to find out what we can do, what regular people, everyday people, can do to help this problem, because we can just keep staring at it and almost saying, like, derogatory things towards our neighborhoods becoming homeless shelters. But we can help, and that was what I needed to know.
Okay.
So I'm very excited this week, because we're doing something that's a first for Get Up On This. We're lucky to have a guest on, which is always a nice treat, but this week I'm not only getting you up on the genius that is Nithya Raman, but that she is in turn going to get us up on things that we can do and lend a helping hand to this problem that's only going to get worse, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So, Nithya, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Before, I wanted to get the smart stuff out of the way. She is a Harvard and MIT-trained urban planner.
Same.
We shouldn't even know her. She shouldn't even be allowed in the studio.
You're right.
She should burn when she walks in, just from our pure stupidity.
She is itching, which is weird.
And for the last few years and most recently, she's really dedicated her life to what is happening in our streets. So what brought you to this specific dilemma in L.A.?
Well, I worked at City Hall briefly in 2014, and back then the number of people who were experiencing homelessness in the city of Los Angeles was like 23,000 people. Now there's close to 37,000, so the number has grown just a staggering amount in just a few years. But when I was there, I was looking at how the city was responding to homelessness then. And it actually felt different in Los Angeles then. A lot of the people who were homeless were concentrated in just a few areas, mostly in Skid Row. Some were in Hollywood. Some were at the beaches. But since then, it's grown absolutely everywhere.
They're everywhere, yeah.
Everywhere. But what I saw when I was working at City Hall was that, and to me, 23,000 is a huge number.
That is a huge number.
It's a huge number. Richest country in the world, second largest city. I mean, it's a huge number. And so what I saw at City Hall was that, you know, the city wasn't necessarily working across departments to make sure we were ending homelessness. They weren't talking to each other to make sure that we were ending homelessness. A lot of the money that was being spent at that time to respond to homelessness was being spent not on programs and services and housing that could get people off of the streets permanently, but on putting people in on enforcement and policing and putting homeless individuals in jail, which is not...
We're overcrowded anyway. So
we're overcrowded, and putting someone in jail is not a home. No. Like, it doesn't fix the central problem, which is that they're homeless. And in fact, once you leave jail, it's often much, much harder to get into a house.
Right.
And so I was worried about how we were responding to this issue in LA. And I left, and then I left City Hall after I wrote that report. And I watched as the problem grew across the city, because we have had such an incredible increase, I think, in housing prices over the last decade. Mm-hmm. And the problem has grown across LA, really.
In layman's terms, if someone is just listening right now and has been driving around Los Angeles or their cities, like you said, we used to see it at Skid Row. It was always kind of like a weird kind of zombie feeling around there. But that's moved into the Woodland Hills. That's moved into Silver Lake. And why?
To me, the real explanatory variable is housing prices. So what I see, I do a lot of homeless outreach in my neighborhood, and what I see when I talk to people who are experiencing homelessness is that a lot of them are people who are struggling with all kinds of things. They may be struggling with domestic violence. They may be struggling with drug addiction. They may be struggling with mental illness, whatever they're struggling with. 10 years ago, that's a person that could stay in their house. You know, they were paying lower rents. Mm-hmm. A landlord would forgive them if they had a personal crisis that made them miss a rent.
Now people are one check away.
One check away. And because our vacancy rates are so low, there's almost no vacancy, and because there's such an upside to getting someone out and having a new tenant come in, people who are at the most vulnerable end of the spectrum are falling into homelessness at rates that are incredibly high in Los Angeles.
And fast, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so much of that is really due to this. So I think what we need to be doing is you know, it's not just an affordable housing crisis. I think there's so many other issues that people who are homeless are dealing with when mm-hmm. they're on the streets. But if you ask me why the numbers have gone up so much, I would say that is the biggest explanatory variable.
What could we do?
Yeah, what can you get us up
First
on doing?
First of all, let me ask you a question. Should we give money when we see somebody?
I think that's your call.
Okay.
I think you should do as you feel on that. I don't have a strong opinion either way.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people I know, by the way, in LA, they carry things in their car that they can give out, which are also really useful.
Oh, that's
like,
good.
For example,
that's a good idea.
Okay, yeah. So a friend of mine carries socks and beanies mm-hmm. in the winter.
Women's products.
And personal hygiene products for women. Little snack bars.
Man, to be honest, this is going to sound very stupid. I have never thought of that.
Yeah.
I've never really thought of the idea of being like, oh, socks are so... I mean, you could get Target socks for a couple
packs,
of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, packs for a dollar. You would just be able to hand them out. It feels better than just repeatedly giving money over and over again. I feel like that would be a smart move.
Yeah, I think it feels really good, and people always want a clean pair of socks.
Yeah.
They always do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a really good thing to have in your car if you... You know, if you're constantly approached at a particular intersection or something like that.
And you've worked in more grassroots areas like that as well before in the past, correct? Things that people could maybe do if they wanted to address this problem in a more direct way.
Yeah. So when I was at home, I have 4-year-old twins, so I was at home taking care of them when they were little.
Lucky to be alive. You can say that. Somebody who has twins.
Kevin has twins as well.
You're lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the first couple of years, total black hole. I don't even remember. When I was at home, I noticed that there was a lot more people in my neighborhood, which is Silver Lake, who were living in places where there never had been people living before.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of us in the neighborhood and in surrounding neighborhoods noticed that. And so we decided that we wanted to do something. And so what we did was we got together and we started just walking from encampment to encampment and giving out water bottles and breakfast bars, whatever we had, hard-boiled eggs, bananas, and just getting to know people by name and seeing what the obstacles they were facing in terms of actually getting out of homelessness.
I have to be honest, I've never done that.
And it's something that's so easy to do in a way. But I think that there's a stigma behind walking up to them.
Yeah, and I think that we did it in a very organized way. So we actually got someone to come in and do a training for us from another group who was experienced in homeless outreach. And we did it in a way. So I have somewhat of a strong opinion about this.
Okay.
There's a lot of programs where you can go out and feed people one day or give out burritos in the neighborhood or, you know, make them at home and give them out. What I'd love to encourage people to do who are in LA who feel a lot of
empathy
and
yeah.
compassion. They want to do something. And I know so many people out there want that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for people to connect with programs that are actually trying to get people who are experiencing homelessness connected to services on a regular basis. Because the biggest thing that I see across the city and the thing that we learned when we were doing our outreach is that a lot of people, once they're homeless, they find it really hard to get the services and get the outreach and get the case management that they need to actually get off of the streets.
Sure.
And in most parts of the city, there isn't that regular outreach. There isn't that regular case management that's going out. There's some, but it's not as regular as it needs to be.
So who do we send people to? Give me some names of...
So the homeless coalition that I helped to found is called CELA, and it serves a big region of the city, stretching from Los Feliz all the way down to Cypress Park. There's a place in North Hollywood that does a drop-in center, which is really exciting. It's called the NoHo Home Alliance, so you can go there. There's amazing nonprofits in the beaches that you can look up, St. Joseph's Center and other places that are doing amazing programs. But I would encourage people to connect to programs that are creating systems through which people can actually repeatedly make contacts with case managers and actually move through the process.
Actually make progress.
Yeah, actually make progress.
Yeah.
You know? That's amazing.
Yeah. And I think going out and the way we designed CELA locally, we've actually gotten hundreds of volunteers to come through the program. You know, so many residents in the area. And it is a transformative experience for a lot of people because, like you said, a lot of people have fear. To go talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, they are afraid to go and approach them, or they might just feel shy. Like, they don't want to disturb somebody who's out there, even if they want.
But also, there's a real awkward, I don't know what to say. Do you know what I mean?
There's a
real difficult, like, hey, what's going on with you?
Right.
I guess that'd probably be good.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I also like bringing something like socks. Would you want socks? You know, I feel like that's kind of an icebreaker in a way. And it's just like, you know, rather than trying to kick them off the street, there is a different approach to do it, and I think that's why Nithya was so important to come in today. So if people want to learn more about that organization, is there a website for CELA?
Yes, CELANHC.org.
And how's it spelled?
Yeah.
CELANHC.
Okay. Great. And also, you can follow Nithya on social media. I see you contact with people all the time that have questions about these things. It is NithyaVaraman. Nithya V. Raman, Raman. And again, I just wanted people to hear that there are ways that you can help on a grassroots level just from your house.
That's fantastic.
And your area. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having
me. Get up on Nithya. Thanks, guys. See you next week. Get up. Get on up. On this. Get up. Get on up. On this. Get
up. Get on up. On this. Get up. Get on up. On this. Look, we provide services that we don't like to brag about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're humble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but we
might be the most humble people on the planet.
But we are heroes and saviors.
Correct.
Right. Yes.
We are life coaches as well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't know that.
Correct.
We are certified life coaches. Wherever you get your certification, we went there and got certified.
Wherever that happens, we did it.
Uh-huh.
But if you have a problem, then you can call us and we will give you some great life advice.
Yes.
Do you hear that
beep?
It's a weird, like, high-pitched noise.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
This is fun.
Huh.
Figured that out on air.
Exactly what Marconi expected when he came over the radio. He's like, there will be a ringing. Everyone will stop. Everyone will talk about it.
Figure out how to fix it.
Yep.
And it won't be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring in listener Rachel.
Okay.
Good morning, Rachel.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for writing us. Thanks for recognizing our wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mostly. Of course.
And our ability to help as life coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I go to you guys for.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Obviously. What is it that we can help you? Like, what are you looking for before you even tell us your problem? Like, what is it you need from us?
I mean, besides guidance.
Yeah. Just I don't know. Just an unbiased opinion, somebody outside of the situation. All right, you guys may do.
God, we are definitely that.
We can do that.
All right, yeah. Let's get into it.
So what's the question?
Yeah. So my brother's getting married in July, and the maid of honor told him that instead of a speech at the wedding, she's planning on doing a rap.
Oh, God. Oh,
yes.
No. Oh, no.
What do you mean, no? This is the best thing ever.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Right.
She's going to rap.
Your guys' mixed opinions is, like, exactly my internal thought process.
Okay.
Of, like, that's incredible, but oh, no.
So the Kevin side of you says, yes, that's going to be great. Mm-hmm. The Jensen side of you says, oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
And my brother was immediately like, oh, no, because she's, I don't know. We're super white. We're from Michigan.
Right.
She's like country music. I'm
counting on it being bad.
Yeah, I guess it is. It is exactly. Important to get out of the way. The friend is not Missy Elliott.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is the friend Missy Elliott?
What if the friend was Missy Elliott?
No. Okay. It's not Missy Elliott.
That would be so cool.
Okay.
Right.
That's important to address. Have you ever heard her rap before?
No, I've actually never even met her before.
Okay. Mm.
I mean, what if she, listen to Rachel, what if she wows the crowd and then the DJ's like, honestly, let's just do some songs. What if she kills?
It's like Wedding 8 Mile.
Yes. It's in Michigan.
Yeah, no, it is in Michigan.
Right.
Okay.
We also have Kid Rock, so I don't know.
Oh, that's true.
So tell me what the predicament is now. You're trying to wonder to say no, try to jump in the middle of this.
But wait, your brother knows. Yeah. Your brother knows it.
Yeah, so he immediately was like, oh, no. And he told his friends, and they were all like, dude, you have to say something to
new wife. Oh, interesting.
No. Why are all these people so bad?
Why spoil such a beautiful surprise?
Right. So that we are, like, torn between if this should just, we should just, like, let this happen and let it be super cringy and everybody just be like, okay, or if we should give her a heads up about it.
I don't think you give her a heads up because this is her, it's obviously her best friend.
Correct.
It's the maid of honor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's not going to do anything that will embarrass her to the point where it ruins the wedding.
Oh, that's not necessarily true.
It might be a little cringy, but that's her best friend up there.
So you're saying
worked on something probably really hard and wants it to be fun.
So you're saying the maid of honor knows the bride well enough to know that this would go over well.
I guarantee you it's starting with my name is Susie and I'm here to say.
I hope so.
Guarantee it.
Probably.
Do you know her first name?
Brandy.
Oh, even better.
My name is Brandy, and I'm here to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
So the question is, do you tell the bride?
You let it play out.
Okay. We can do that.
Well, I think Jensen disagrees.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. This is the most important day of her life.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you plan for so long. You want it to go perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone to be like, my name is Brandy. I'm the new Nicki Minaj. In the middle of your wedding ceremony.
No, it's at the reception. It's the speech when everyone's so bored.
And has been drinking.
Do we know if she's bringing out like a boombox and pressing play? Like, is it a whole bit?
I have no idea.
Kid and play here.
What I'm thinking I might do is sort of like suss out at the bachelorette party, see if I can get like a preview.
Right. Why don't you come spit a quick 16 for me?
Right.
Let's have a cipher. Okay. I'm going to say, and I know that you're looking for one united answer, but I'm not sure that these life coaches give it to you. I'm going to say you might want to say something. So it comes down to Kevin to give you the final word as
Rachel.
A group.
How often does something happen that you'll remember the rest of your life?
Amen. Amen, Kevin.
Right?
That's a great point.
You just want the wedding to go on and just be a random wedding and it's just generic and no one remembers it?
Yeah. Let Brandy live.
Let Brandy rap.
Yeah. Then I guess you've heard our answer.
Okay, yeah, I'll tell my family.
Excellent.
Everyone know.
Her and neighbor. Also, record it somehow.
Oh, please.
If you could.
Oh, 100%.
Can you please record it?
Record
we'll
it on video and then send it to us.
I mean, why don't we go live from the wedding in July? Let's do this.
A remote.
All right, we have spoken.
I'll do what I can.
All right, fantastic.
Yes, thank you very much.
Life coaches,
right, yeah, sure. I don't know why I thought that the Google commercials would go away after the Super Bowl, but for some reason I did.
I thought for sure it was just a one-time thing.
Right.
Because Super Bowl commercials that get a lot of attention, they don't just keep running.
Right.
Most of the time.
I was surprised that during the Oscars, they ran the Google commercial again.
Yeah.
And during
the sad ones.
Some sports games, too.
Yes. This commercial sort of bums you out.
Yeah.
Hey, Google, show me photos of me and Loretta. Remember? Loretta hated my mustache. Remember? Loretta loved going to Alaska and scallops.
Scallops.
And show me photos from our anniversary. Remember, she always snorted when she laughed.
Allie, stop crying.
I can't.
Play our favorite movie.
It was
Remember,
Casablanca, yeah.
I'm the luckiest man in the world.
Oh.
Come on, boy.
And a dog. And yeah,
he's
yeah.
losing his
you
memory.
Guys, he's losing his memory. He just Listen. Wants to remember all the wonderful things about Loretta.
Loretta never existed. She never existed.
Well, that was just, see. That's Kevin's theory: is that this woman never existed. It was just a figment of his imagination. I was in a Korean barbecue place watching the Super Bowl, crying.
Yeah,
tears actually rolling down my face. Kevin is the one making a joke out of it. But then that got me thinking: oh, that would be funny because what if it pulled out and Loretta was on the ground and there was like a blunt force to the head with blood coming out of the back?
You're
of
all from hell. Because
well, we're just saying what if we don't know.
There's only one explanation, and that's that Loretta is him.
What, like Fight
what?
Club?
Yeah.
He's Loretta, Loretta is guys. Him.
He dresses as Loretta?
Yes, he and his family's like, stop dressing as Loretta, Gramps. It's weird. So this is his way.
Hadn't thought of that yet.
Of, yeah, he's Loretta.
I also had another one where he's doing this. Loretta slowly tiptoes up.
Yeah.
He doesn't hear her.
To hug him?
No, yeah, she snaps his neck like Van Damme style.
From behind.
Just quick turn, just, and then he's dead.
And then she
I mean,
sneaks
all,
out.
All great theories.
These are good theories, but I'm happy to report to you guys that Google has a new commercial that does give you the whole story.
Oh,
yeah!
Wow.
Great, we don't have to guess anymore.
No.
All right.
Hey, Google, show me pictures of me and Loretta. Oh, I love those pictures. Google, remember that Loretta and I loved going to the drive-in. Remember that Loretta thought O.J. Simpson was innocent.
Oh, are you sure she thought that?
Yes, I am. Please remember it.
Okay.
Show me photos of Loretta and I hiding that Malaysian plane. Oh, we had so much fun that day.
Did you kill all those people?
Google, play our song. Oh, yes. No. Our good friend R. Kelly. We spent many a night at his house with imprisoned teens.
This seems problematic.
And remember, I'm the luckiest man in the world.
Dad, we're about to have dinner. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm having Google remember things for me about Loretta.
Who's Loretta? Mom and I are waiting for you in the kitchen.
Oh, I wish I would have left her for Loretta. She was way hotter. It's my biggest regret, Google. Remember that.
Come on, Dad.
I mean, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
That is awful.
I mean, for you, for him, he has regrets that he's thinking back on.
Right?
The end
he
of his
hit
life.
The Malaysian plane.
Well, that's all details.
He was in R. Kelly's house.
Again, these are specifics.
Loretta thinks OJ is innocent.
Let the man live. Let her die. Unbelievable.
She's dead?
Well, I mean, listen, it's
Wait,
like, just
died?
The backstories we haven't worked out.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, let the man miss Loretta.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm on.
Huh? What? Your microphone's on. So when you talk, you can hear it over the song.
I'm what on orange, guys.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know.
It's happened a couple times.
Yes, but I feel like
this
we
week,
are potting the mics up
We're
sooner
not.
Than we ever have.
It was 5 seconds left in the song.
Honestly, 5 seconds for you. I like to let a song play out.
She likes hearing the final note.
Yes. Like at the end when they're like, good job, Dexter. And he's like, hey, thanks, Noodles. Like they have a conversation,
they don't have
at,
a
the
conversation
end of that
at the end of
that
Everyone
song. Everyone knows that.
Okay.
This radio person is the whole problem.
She really is.
That's correct. All right. Allie, what's happening?
I'm on the orange mic.
Okay, good.
I need y'all to know that.
Thanks for telling us that during the song.
Guys, there's something huge happening.
Okay.
It's a new one-day festival called Cruel World, set to take place May 2nd at the grounds at Dignity Health Sports Park in Los Angeles. You might know that as StubHub Center. It's changed. A lot of people didn't know that. It changed a year ago. So what's wrong with you? Why don't you know that it's Dignity Health Sports Park?
Well, a lot of people may not go there, but Galaxy fans know that because that's where the Galaxy play.
Yeah. I immediately, when I saw that Cruel World Fest existed, I Googled Dignity Health Sports Park and I was like, oh, okay, cool. So it's happening in Carson. The lineup boasts quite the array of new wave,
goth, post-punk, bands like Morrissey, Bauhaus, Blondie, Devo, Echo and the Bunnymen, the Psychedelic Furs, Violent Femmes, P.I.L., The Church, English Beat, She Wants Revenge.
Weezer.
No, Gene Loves Jezebel, Berlin, Missing Persons. Are you kidding me with this lineup,
you guys?
It does
sound great.
May 2nd, again, happening.
Room 5?
No, these are great vintage K-rock bands, wonderful bands, as well as She Wants Revenge. That's a little, like, new for you, which
John
I enjoy.
John Bon Jovi.
Again, I just read Morrissey, Bauhaus, Blondie, Devo, those bands.
Jackson Browne.
Tickets for Cruel World will go on sale this Friday, February 14th at noon. There is a pre-sale that will start February 13th at noon as well. Fans can register for a pre-sale code via the festival's website, which is cruelworldfest.com. This is the most exciting thing I have heard in a long time, you guys.
Sounds like a great show.
And I feel like maybe the group putting it on, they know some things about putting on a festival. It's Golden Voice, which is behind Coachella, Stagecoach, every show I've ever wanted to go to. So congrats to you guys. Looks like you got another success in your hands. Gosh, I can't wait for this. I cannot wait. I posted about this and my phone blew up from friends that moved away from LA and were like, I'll fly back in for that weekend. I'm like, cool. People think I'm going to get them tickets and let them stay at my house.
Oh, by the way, you're going to pick them up from the airport too.
Oh, yeah. This just in. Mm-hmm. None of that is happening.
On a bike.
What?
On a bike. Like a little bicycle. Like you got to pick them up and they're going to be on your pegs on the back.
Where's their luggage going to go?
They hold it.
Hold it.
On their head.
And also, you don't need luggage for this show. Just show up with your sadness. An eyeliner.
You need baggage. That's what you need. Yeah. Not luggage.
You say that. But there's really only a couple real gothy bands. English Beat. You're never sad during English Beat.
No, but I mean,
the Psychedelic Furs, never sad.
Morrissey's not like Delight. You know what
Again,
I mean?
Again, Morrissey won't be there. Morrissey is one of the headliners, but don't let that sway you from going because the rest of the bands are. I mean, this is a killer lineup.
This sounds amazing.
Killer, you guys. I recently saw the Psychedelic Furs, and they were amazing. And you know my feelings about Echo and the Bunnymen.
Sure.
This is like my Pretty in Pink dream.
They said, let's make a music festival for Allie.
And they did. Again. That is a man playing a PVC pipe. He will not be there.
Damn.
Thank God.
I don't know that he won't be there. He can buy a ticket.
He could be in the audience.
And
you're right.
He could buy a ticket and he could play along.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Morrissey.
Morrissey who?
There's no one there when you look. Like, you think he's there, and then you open the door, and he's not there.
Because he cancels a lot.
It's hard to tell that joke. I'm honest. But you get the point.
But you did it.
I get it. I get it.
You swung for the fence. It's
Thank
like,
you.
Got to give you credit for that.
Thank you.
Again, May 2nd is when it's all going down. Cruel World. There's nothing cruel about this lineup. I love everything about it, you guys.
What does it mean, the grounds of Dignity Health Park? Because there are soccer fields around it. There's a tennis court there.
I think that
More
this
than one
is
stage?
Not just going to be a show. This is going to be like a festival, like food trucks, everything. Face painters,
maybe
balloon
more than
people,
one stage, maybe?
Like, oh, a clown that's like, let me guess your age. Like that type of thing.
Maybe more than one stage?
Listen, I don't know any of this
information. At least not listening to a word I'm saying.
I'm just coming up with my favorite things in a festival. A clown that's like, I know how much you weigh. Which, by the way, will you guys please catch up on Sunday night?
Curb.
I'm like two behind.
Okay,
catch up.
Oh,
people mistaking Jeff Garland for Harvey Weinstein is a very funny thing.
One of the
funny
funniest
runner, yeah.
things, absolutely.
It's very
but
good.
Him using a Make America Great hat to repel people is also funny.
Amazing.
Know, yes. And
Amazing.
Then actually entering the political conversation when Donald Trump retweeted a clip from it. Yeah. It's a crazy show.
Yep.
Good season.
It's good times, you guys. Timothy Oliphant is back this past Sunday, so enjoy that,
All right.
guys.
I think he's a pussy.
No, he's wonderful. He's one of my favorite actors. Jussie Smollett, not one of my favorite actors, was indicted yesterday in Chicago more than a year after the actor allegedly staged a hate crime attack against himself.
Canceled.
The 6-count indictment brought by special prosecutor Dan Webb stems from the alleged January 2019 hoax attack. It charges him with making 4 separate false reports to the Chicago police. So here's why this is kind of weird timing. This guy, Dan Webb, the special prosecutor, is apparently up for re-election. So people are wondering why right now they're doing this.
Does seem like odd timing.
It does seem like odd timing, but also it shouldn't go away. He should be held accountable for something.
Agreed,
yeah.
It's all very odd.
We need to be able to trust people who come forward and say something has happened.
Absolutely.
We need to be able to trust them. This guy's ruining,
It for them.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Right.
Sure, whatever.
Really, I mean, let's be honest, you guys. So they're setting the record straight, guys. The Academy revealed their reason for failing to feature the likes of Luke Perry, Cameron Boyce, a bunch of other people. Sid Haig.
Didn't bring him,
left him out.
Not Richie Valens. In the In Memoriam segment on their Oscars on February 9th. I see this being tweeted yesterday, setting the record straight. So I read it and I was like, oh, I must have missed where they set the record straight. Then I'd look at another article that said the Academy is setting the record straight. I'd read their announcement and I thought, okay, no, this is their announcement. This is not setting the record straight. Hmm. Would you like to hear what they said?
Yes.
Quote, the Academy receives hundreds of requests to include loved ones and industry colleagues in the Oscars In Memoriam segment. An executive committee representing every branch considers the list and makes selections for the telecast based on limited available time. All the submissions are included on Oscar.com and will remain on the site throughout the year.
What?
Why not just put out, we're setting the record straight, we didn't put them in, didn't have time, didn't think it was necessary.
They're saying, in effect, they didn't need to.
That's exactly what
That's
I got
bogus.
From that. Yeah. Really gross, right?
Straight garbage.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Stephen A. Smith hates it. And when he hates something, I have a hard time hating it as well. But for this, I do hate it.
Bad.
Do hate it, guys. Some birthdays for you. Josh Brolin, Arsenio Hall, Christina Ricci, and Mike Posner. And that's what's happening.
Jensen, how do we get into the topic of you cried in front of a stranger?
Well, you know, with all this Loretta talk, I had admitted during the Super Bowl that at Ace Gogi in West Hills, I was sitting there watching the Super Bowl, eating some great Korean barbecue, and said, what's this? Watched the commercial, started reading the closed captions, couldn't even hear the sound.
Oh, really?
Just by reading the commercial, tears started to roll down my eyes. I was crying in public.
I was in a room of 50 people, and that pretty much happened to all of us.
Even
and then
you.
The joke started. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, we had talked about sort of being in public and crying and what situations we've been in. Mm-hmm. And recently I admitted to you, both of you, my co-hosts, my peers, that...
he didn't say friends.
He didn't. Nope.
Notice that.
Peers. Again, peers, co-workers. I, once in my life, about 12 years ago, was diagnosed with brain tumors. Mm-hmm. They seemed very scary. They were on my midbrain, right in the middle.
Of course they're scary. What are you talking about, seem scary?
They could not open up my head and remove them, which they would have done if they were in other spots.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the next 10 years, I would get MRIs and CAT scans and stuff, and they would check to see if they grew or multiplied at any point.
Mm-hmm.
Good news, they haven't.
All right, good.
Still get checked about twice a year, but they seem to be dead tumors, things that could have been even from my juvenile, from my young years.
Congenital. Yeah.
It's not a big deal, but they still have to watch them. But when I found out that they found these lesions, these white marks on my midbrain, I didn't sleep for about 6 days. It was
What's that now?
What is it?
What's the lesion thing?
No, it's what he's talking
about. No, it's the
same
thing.
Oh, what's the same thing? Okay.
Kevin thought I gave myself another disease.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
And then when they found lesions.
And then they found lesions.
Oh, my God.
Kevin starts crying.
Yeah. So I remember finding out and then having to do errands because I had to do some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had to drop off something at this box store that I also use as sort of a post office, drop off mail. And it's actually your box place, right?
My favorite place. I love the people that work there, and now I love them even more.
On Beverly.
What are we talking about? Who has a favorite box store?
I do, too.
It's very handy.
Yeah, it's very handy. So I had walked in, and this old couple, they're just so sweet. They asked me how I'm doing, and they've seen me every day for a while, and they say, how are you doing? And I go, not well. And they go, why? And I go, and I tell them the story. They found these, and I just start bawling, just crying because I had how old am I
at that point?
About 12 years ago, so I'm in my late 20s.
Okay,
and I'm just crying. And this woman and this man, married couple, walk over
said,
to me.
Get out!
No, they held me.
What?
In the middle of the store, they both hugged me.
Right.
Circled around me, and then for maybe a couple years in a row, they would say, how's everything going with your head? And then I'd get to give them up. No, Kevin.
What?
Kevin, they were very sweet.
They're hot,
no,
though.
They were very
sweet. Were they hot?
They were very sweet and kind. They held me. I cried. And since then, we've had a connection that was close ever since. They it's always beautiful. Ask me how I'm doing, and we have that. But it's I did, it did get us asking, how many times have you cried in public in a place? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in front of strangers.
Yes.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You cried in front of a complete stranger.
Or in just public in front of people.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You guys have met me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You cry a lot.
I cry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am very sensitive about other people's sadness and needs, and I feel a lot of empathy towards people. However, there are certain songs that I hear. If it's at a grocery store, if it's at a JCPenney, I don't care. I am bawling. This happened at a gas station.
You Brick know, House?
No.
The song
no,
Brick House? Okay.
Close. No, they play the music at a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can hear it as they're filling up.
Right.
No one else was bawling to Mike and the Mechanics, The Living Years. Like I was, I mean, bawling. And this guy looked over. He was at the next little gas pump next to me. And he's like, are you going to be all right? And I was like, oh my God, his dad. And he just wishes he was alive to tell him. This is insane.
Did the guy immediately get in his car and drive away?
He made a mad dash. Mm-hmm. He was out of there. But yeah, I mean, I was bawling at a gas station filling up my car.
I mean, that sounds
it's
sad.
It's insane.
It does sound sad.
This 89 is so expensive.
When it says you need to do this kind of unleaded, do you?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But there are times, I guess, in public, like me, you leave a doctor's yeah. office, yeah. you hear bad news, and then you're talking to the box lady.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, she has a name, and she's like your second mom, and I feel like this is sad.
All right, let's take a phone call right now, and then we're going to take yours at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Helen in Garden Grove. Good morning, Helen.
How are you?
We are good. Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. So mine was just recently with the Kobe Bryant passing.
Yeah.
Mostly all week I was pretty ice cold about it. I'm like, how insensitive am I? Like, I haven't even cried yet.
Hold on. So you felt bad about the fact that it wasn't affecting you more?
Yes.
Yeah.
That okay. I hadn't broken down yet.
Right.
So that Friday night, we go out to dinner, sitting at the bar watching the memorial, and with my cocktail, I'm boo-hoo. And this lady next to me just comes and rubs my back. She's like, it's just unbelievable. And I said, look at me. I'm like, it's just hitting me. But, so with a total stranger, I'm like crying. She goes, it's okay, honey. And I'm like, it's so horrible.
Yeah. If you're in L.A. bar that week, I just turn the TVs off. Because it's like yeah, that yeah. was all that was being covered.
Yeah, it gets to be too much.
And I wasn't even a Kobe fan, and I was sitting there crying watching the coverage.
I had to stop going through Instagram for a while just because there were so many posts from so many people about Kobe. Yeah. But I'm glad that your heart grew two sizes bigger that day.
Yeah.
Helen.
Good job, Grinch.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls next. Just head to Lincoln Park. Let's take one phone call. We are talking about you cried in front of a total stranger. Mike is on the line from Riverside. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
We are good. Thank you. You cried in front of a stranger.
Yes. Little context. I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan, but they broke up before I was born. Anyway, I saw Robert Plant, down in Caboo in San Diego a couple years back, mm-hmm. and the emotion got to me right after the show was over. So I just let it out, and a couple people came up to me saying, hey, oh my gosh, you all right? My wife, my loving wife, a few feet away. Oh, don't mind him. He's being a big baby, being a big pansy. He's going to be fine. And that broke the tension after a minute. But I'm like, seriously? Really?
This doesn't give you street cred.
Your wife is mocking you. That's hilarious.
Absolutely mocking me.
Mike, I say let it out. If you feel emotion about seeing Robert Plant, you cry all you want, Mike.
That was macho.
Do it, Mike.
Thank you
for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls next on K-Rock. We were talking about you cried in front of a total stranger. Gretchen is on the line from Reseda. Good morning, Gretchen.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually walking through the playground of the school I work right now.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a kids librarian. I work at a school. And there's this book called City Dog Country Frog by Mo Willems. Mm-hmm. And I actually get a little upset talking about it. So it's gifted to me by a family, and it's about a dog who goes to the country and visits his frog friend, and then one season he comes back and the frog's not there. And it's because the frog has passed away, and so it's like the cycle of life, but there's a different frog there.
That sounds like a terrible book.
when I'm reading it, I'll be reading it to like third graders, and I'll be like, and then the dog comes back, and I've had kids be like, Miss Gretchen, it's okay. I'll take over.
Really? No. Your students have taken over for you.
That's sad.
Yeah, I just saw the mom in the hallway who gave it to me. She's like, I can't talk about that book.
Oh, man.
Maybe steer clear of that book.
Yeah, you're teaching kids about grief and the cycle of life, and you're like, oh, God, it's awful.
Kind of rough, but it's beautiful.
So. I love it.
Sure. A little embarrassing.
Thank you, Gretchen, for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Christy in Mission Viejo. Good morning, Christy.
Hello.
Hi there. You cried in front of strangers.
I did. It was so embarrassing. I was at the grocery store, and I did my shopping, and then I had gone up, and I couldn't find my phone. I went out to my car looking all over for it, so I'm like, great, it's in the store somewhere. Trace all my steps, couldn't find it. Walked back up to the checkout lady, and I'm like, did I leave my phone here? I can't find it. She's like, no, but, you know, give us a phone number to call. We'll tell you if we find it. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I need my phone right now. And she's like, well, everybody needs their phone. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I need my phone. I'm having surgery tomorrow, and I just lost it. I started bawling, and she didn't even know what to do. She just stood there looking at me.
Like, I can't produce your phone just because you need it.
So wait,
but then it was so nice. The guy that was standing there checking out, he had like a 3- and a 5-year-old boys. And he's like, give me your phone number. He's like, let's just start walking around and calling it. It's got to be here somewhere. And he did. He like walked the entire store with me for like 10 minutes. Just kept calling it. His boys were like looking around in the produce department
for it. That's really nice.
And so?
But yeah, it was embarrassing.
You found it?
We did.
She's like, I'm calling on it right now, you idiot.
Well, she bought a new one, I thought.
But where
maybe
did you
bought a new one.
Where did you find it?
No, we did find it, and it was in the meat section. Like, I had set it down.
In the meat section.
Like, in the meat section, yeah. But and then I started crying because I was so happy that he was so helpful. And he's like, you can stop crying now. I'm like, no, now I'm crying because I'm just so thankful for you.
I mean, this is the ultimate.
Wow.
Not a meat cute.
Cute.
Yeah. Oh.
File, right?
No. All right. Whatever. It was fine.
No, I love that, Allie.
Okay, oh, so don't take it back.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
She can call back, or we're doing, would you like to take that back?
Okay.
Thank you, Christy, for the call. We appreciate that. All right, let's go to Anna in Los Angeles. Good morning. Hello. Going
Anna?
Once, going twice.
Check the meat section for your phone.
Is Anna on the phone?
Nope. All right, let's go to Eddie in Los Angeles. Good morning, Eddie.
Morning, party people.
Morning.
Hi, Allie.
Hey.
So you cried in front of strangers.
Yeah, it was more like tears running down my face. So I was there
as opposed to crying.
It's definitely crying. That's the definition of crying. Yeah.
I was there at No Doubt's last show at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, and you know, I've gone to that place for so many years for, you know, all kinds of concerts, including the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Same.
You know, I've had many memories there. Whether it's, you know, getting lucky with girls, having great times with friends, or just going nuts in the mosh pit. And, you know, there's just something intimate about being at that venue. And so when I was there at No Doubt's last show, I was actually not even inside. I was outside the venue just hearing the music.
What?
But you just from outside?
Wait, you didn't go in to see the show? Hello?
Check the meat section, Eddie.
She was like, oh, are you okay? And we just had this bunch of conversations about the place. And yeah, that's that's the reason why at least I cried in front of a stranger.
I mean, we missed a lot of the meat of that.
Unfortunately, but you were outside the venue is the part I'm focusing on. Because that's super weird. Okay, thank you for calling, though. We appreciate it. Let's go to Dylan, who is calling from Los Angeles. Good morning, Dylan.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Cried in front of strangers.
Yeah, this was a couple of years ago. I was on an airplane, and I was watching a movie. And I had my headphones on, and nobody else was watching that movie.
Right.
Because it was The Secret Life of Bees.
The Secret Life of Bees, right. It's a sad movie, right.
Was that Queen Latifah and Oprah or something?
I mean,
I can't even remember.
It.
We don't know.
Was it
Dylan?
Was it that you couldn't see through your tears? Yes. That is Will Smith is a producer of it. But yeah, they have Dakota Fanning's in it, Paul Bettany, Jennifer Hudson.
And what's sad
Queen
about
Latifah.
It? What's sad about it?
I to be honest, I don't even remember because I was watching it and I started crying, and there was nobody else on the plane watching it because it was one of those pick your own movies right. on the airplane, sure. and I had my headphones on, and I'm just like crying in my seat and shaking, and the guy next to me is just looking. I'm 6'1", 220, and they're just like, "What the hell is wrong with this guy?" So I couldn't wait to get off that plane, but there was another 4 hours of the flight.
So you watch it again.
Yeah. You know, I'm all about them bees.
Right, right. Sure.
Obviously. We get sure.
it, Dylan. Ellie is here now. What's happening?
Have you ever gone into, I'll just say, like an IKEA, and you look around, you've got the bed, you've got the little setup there, and you think, I could live here.
No.
Like, this could, oh, really?
No. I'm not looking for a place to live when I go there.
Come on.
Oh, sorry.
I have done that.
Thank you. Okay, so
turn
you
on your
get
mic.
It.
I've done that.
Like, this is
what?
A total place I could live. Like, at least I could sleep here.
Sometimes
for the night.
IKEA rooms look better than mine.
Thank you. Absolutely.
I like immediately walk in and I'm like, this is a great bedroom.
Although I stopped going to IKEA because I can't put their stuff together. So it was okay. just too frustrating. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so it's been a long time.
This story is not for you, Kevin.
Okay. Right.
This story is for the Jensens and Allies of the world.
Okay.
Because this week, IKEA has announced the IKEA Swede Dreams Sleepover Event. Swede, S-W-E-D,
uh-huh.
because they're Swedish.
Right.
Sleepover event. It's going to offer lucky IKEA family members the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to spend the night in an IKEA showroom in both the Brooklyn and Costa Mesa stores, you guys.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
No, it's all happening on World Sleep Day, which is Friday, March 13th, 2020. And it's not just about sleeping, guys. There's going to be a ton of fun sleep activities.
Sleep activities?
An insomniac
lounge. There's
either
sleeping or there's not.
Please tell me they're going to have all-night meatballs.
Insomniac lounge featuring ASMR, a silent disco, a bunch of different activities teaching you how to create the perfect sleep scenario and more.
They're going to be teaching you that while you should be sleeping?
Well, no.
Okay.
I mean, it's just...
It's going to be a big party,
guys.
Is what you're saying.
It's a party, and then you can sleep over.
Did you say anything about the meatballs?
There will be meatballs.
It's a good question, though.
Thank you. There will be meatballs.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
IKEA.
IKEA who?
We're all at the IKEA. Come on in.
So you literally have no knock-knock jokes?
No. The one with Morrissey.
But neither does Sam, the Armenian comedian,
right,
which is why.
Okay. The Morrissey one was pretty good.
All right.
Do you want to hear it again?
No.
Knock-knock.
So The Bachelor has some weird stuff happening.
Okay.
Peter Weber.
Knock-knock.
Down to four women.
Still at the door.
Rumors are flying, okay. however, that he's not going to choose any of them. Why? Because he's actually in a relationship with a producer from the ABC dating series named Julie LaPlaca.
Knock, knock.
Doesn't it seem like there should be all kinds of rules against that?
You would think that. Here's why people think he's dating her. Someone pointed out that his father posted a photo from New Year's Eve of LaPlaca out to dinner with the whole family in New York City. I mean, they could just be friends, could have just met on the show, right? But she's been tagged in a ton of photos wearing Seattle Seahawks attire, which is Peter Weber's favorite football team. A woman can't like football. It has to be for a guy.
Knock, knock.
Who's still at the door?
Oh, Morrissey.
Okay. Here's where I wonder what's happening.
What?
The network's senior vice president of alternative series spoke to Entertainment Tonight about what fans can expect from the upcoming finale. And this person said, Mr. Robert Mills, well, I hate to get in the way of a good rumor, so I'm not going to confirm or deny whether he ends up with the producer. So obviously it doesn't sound like they're trying to cover this up like it's a bad thing.
And it's such a problematic thing. I don't think you'd want it out in space.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd be like, no, producers do not hook up with contestants.
I mean, we have Jeff Probst on next from Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get to the bottom of whether this is even common. And
Common's there?
Common is not there. Knock, knock. So dumb. I need to talk to Jeff Probst about, you know, my situation with watching people that are dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I can't do it. Like,
you can't watch people that are dirty?
No, I get, that's why
you
I
don't get dirty,
watch
though.
Game of Thrones. Like, they
what?
Were always so dirty, and then all of a sudden they're, like, having sex with their sister, and I'm like, that's gross, let alone the fact that your sister hasn't showered in weeks. It's just, it's, ugh.
You might have been missing some of the storylines, though.
Oh, okay. Well, we will find out from him if any weird turns like this have happened.
Knock, knock.
What if he picks a producer, though?
You need to go to Dr. Good College to understand all of you, you stupid heads.
Again.
Dr. What? Good College.
People don't know with the and the listening.
People do.
You guys see that whole broom thing sweeping Twitter? It was so stupid. If you see a tweet that says, today's the only day a broom can stand up on its own because of the gravitational pull, and you believe that, that's Darwinism. We should be able to kill you right there on the spot.
You're a loser.
And then people putting their broom and being like, oh my God, this is so cool.
That was happening?
Yes.
Oh my
big time.
Gosh.
Oh my
Kevin.
God. I'm so happy I wasn't on Twitter then.
NASA was forced to clarify.
What?
Hey, brooms can stand up any day of the year. It just has to do with, like, the broom actually becoming, like, a tripod is what it is. But people were posting it like it was witchcraft or sorcery. We are a stupid people.
We're not smart.
Is what I'm saying. Good Lord. And it made me think a lot of people own brooms.
Yeah, I did feel like everyone was living in Mary Poppins. I was surprised to see how many people had just normal brooms.
I just have a Swiffer, and I call it a day. But people have, like, an array of brooms. It was actually quite impressive at that point.
Was it?
No.
Because they had brooms?
No. Well, there were a lot of different brooms. Do you own a broom, Kevin?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Like an old-timey one, like the witches fly on?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Yep.
I have
it's a craggly stick like they fly on, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I got it from Harry Potter.
Yes. Sweet.
It's like a cane.
When you were sorted into your house.
Right.
Excellent.
I have one. Like a cheap one.
Like an old-timey
one? No, like a cheap, you know, like white plastic one with green.
The bristles?
Yeah, green bristles.
All right.
But I didn't do that because I just was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Why would anyone care?
I think that's the right response.
Right.
Yeah. But then we got to watch all the news reports with the sweeping the nation story. So, I mean, it's a good time. It's a real good time, you guys. We talked about this with Jensen. He went on a parent date last week. Mm-hmm. Like the first time you guys have really been out since Sadler was born.
Not sure it's a date.
We did some really exciting stuff.
You went to Soup Plantation.
We did.
Then you filled a tire.
Yeah, we've been needing to fill that tire for a while with some air.
And then you mentioned that the neighborhood had a new stop sign, so you went to visit it.
Well, we wanted to see what it was all about, yeah. People really talking about it on the Neighbors app.
No one was talking about it on the Neighbors app.
No one was talking about it.
Everyone was like,
knock, knock.
And I was like, who is it? And they were like, new stop sign, so we went to go check it out.
Okay. Well, a poll of 2,000 parents of school-age children, ages 5 to 18, found that 3 in 10 don't even remember the last romantic date they went on. On average, most parents have not been on a date in 3 years. Is this normal?
Yeah.
Really?
It's really difficult, man.
Isn't that what babysitters are for?
Yeah, but then you're not really fully focused. It's like...
because you're thinking about the kid at home.
And also, a lot of people don't trust babysitters unless you really have a great situation with someone, which also isn't super easy to find.
Wow.
We're really happy with, you know, our babysitter and nanny and stuff, but...
but your first date night was horrible.
Well that's just what they chose.
We had a great time.
You didn't have a great time going to a stop sign.
Nothing to do with them or the baby.
Right.
It's very difficult to find that time. And also, to get all dressed up and nice for 3 hours, then you're just coming home and you're back in the mix. It's, let's just cut out the middleman.
To stay home.
Wow. But not everyone has a stop sign to go visit, so I understand why some people might not be prioritizing.
A soup plantation in Northridge
to
head out to.
That's just not good.
Your Sunday best.
We were, we had a great time.
Sure.
So thank you.
I just thought that was shocking. 3 years people hadn't been out.
Yeah. I could see it, man.
Kids ruin lives.
They do.
What I got from the story.
They definitely do.
Goodness. All right. Happy birthday, Mike Posner, Christina Ricci, Arsenio Hall, and Josh Brolin. No one's doing that. That's what's happening.
Survivor Winners at War debuts tonight. We're going to talk to the host, Jeff Probst, next. Jeff Probst has joined us in studio as we talk about kicking off the 40th season. 40th of Survivor. It's nuts.
That sounds like a parody. Like they would make that joke on SNL. Oh, the 40th season, but that's the real number.
You know, it's funny you say that. We do these film festivals on location where crew members make like 3-minute movies, and about 10 years ago, somebody made one. My dad was visiting. They put him in my clothes, and they did, I think it was like the 70th season.
Sure.
But it was kind of to your point, it's like that'll never happen.
It's on its way.
This is the 20-year anniversary of the
right,
show.
Right.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Kevin and Bean at the time said, you're not going to make it past one season.
I've been talking to these guys for 20 years.
Yeah. We did. After the first season, we were like, well, they can't top that, so that's over.
Right.
After season one.
Right.
So we were a little bit off by that.
How much of that final episode in season one has played into this folklore? Because it was one of the greatest moments in television with, I Wouldn't Give You Water, whatever it was, the Richard Hatch stuff. It was a reality show moment that still hasn't been topped.
You know,
Rudy, my favorite. I love Rudy.
Going to your point.
R.I.P. Yeah.
I had a bit of a cough there. Sorry. Going to your point, I've never thought about that in that way, but you're right. I think it was because we wanted Rudy to win.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was a 72-year-old Navy SEAL, America's hero.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted Richard Hatch to win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that moment was so big and turned out to be arguably the best thing that could have ever happened.
Yeah. It set the tone.
Yeah.
You can't predict what's going to happen on the
exactly.
show.
Exactly. Yeah. Anybody can win.
It's incredible.
Does something surprise you every single season?
That's a good question. I used to get surprised by the human behavior of it, but now I've realized.
Now you're used to it?
Well, now you know everyone's garbage.
It's not even that. It's that we aren't that complicated. We behave the way we behave because we think it's the right thing to do. And then we sit at home and go, who does that? That guy does.
Yeah. And is. It has to be crazy to see all of the people that are convinced 1,000% that they can play this game.
Every single person that we put on the show believes they will win. And
not even just like hopeful.
No,
believes
certain.
It. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we do this game where when we put our group together, we will have all sorts of little codes of what we think. Like, is this person a likable winner if they get to the end? But one of the things we look at is who can win. And out of the 20, we usually feel like it's maybe 8 or 10 can
really
win.
Which
tops.
Is a lot,
because
so the other 10 are convinced they're going to win, but you guys are like, there's no way that's going to happen.
Well, just as a human, you look at it and go, I just don't think your personality is going to be the type that in the end they will give it to you. So your chances seem to be not that high. We've been wrong, but
sure.
You've got to be betting with the other producers and everyone. Like, who's going to do it?
Not, you know,
a little gambling going on?
No.
No.
Come
no.
on.
No. I mean, honestly,
he doesn't
want
to be banned from the Hall of Fame, you know?
But we
Survivor Hall of Fame.
Just him and like Pete Rose.
In the beginning, for sure, you'd be like, this is going to happen. Yeah. But now, I mean, we have been on 20 years. We don't even care. The format is... No, I mean that. I don't mean that we don't care, but the format of the show is just let them figure it out and let's just tell their story.
Let it play out. Yeah.
When you say that for 20 years or so, like when you auditioned for this, like was it ever in your mind that this was going to be the thing that attaches to your name forever?
No.
Like this is your obituary term. Yeah. I hate to bring that up to you.
Is
really?
It?
Wow, it is. Survivor host.
So when I die, it's going to be the tribe has spoken. Probst is gone.
Oh, no.
You got it.
No worries.
But that is a crazy thought. The thing you auditioned for, this weird reality show, is a big defining moment.
Yeah. Well, I will say, when I heard the idea, I was driving on the 405 here in L.A. on Mark Burnett was on a radio show talking about this bizarre idea. I'm going to abandon 16 people and force them to live together and vote each other out.
Right.
I did connect immediately.
Really?
And yeah,
that's for me.
That's for me.
All right.
That's a cool idea.
Wait, as a host or as a contestant?
As a host.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know if it needed a host, but I just had an agent at the time and I called and I said, I just heard this guy talking about a show called Survivor. Can you look in to see what that might be? And then I was the first guy Burnett met with. And we had a 2-hour interview that he talked almost the entire time.
He didn't ask you any questions as the host?
No. Which, if you know Mark, that's not surprising.
Of course, yeah, true.
But at the very end, I saw the clock ticking. I was like, I have not said a damn word. Mm-hmm. So I had a picture and resume, and I ripped it. And I said, listen, I need to tell you something.
Oh, dear.
I am not.
This sounds bad already.
I am not a studio guy. I'm a student of the human condition. I'm a writer, and I've been in therapy. I get this show.
Right.
And he goes, hey, very nice to meet you. I was like, really?
Oh, no.
That's it. Nice to meet me. And then it was like 5 months later that I got a call saying it's you and one other guy.
And you beat Seacrest. That's it.
That's all that matters.
Ryan out there, like, getting dirty. That's another thing. The whole dirty thing.
Yeah.
It freaks me out.
Yeah.
Why would he say that to you? Why would he just dismiss you like that?
I don't know. Nice to meet you. Because then later he said, I knew when you left. It was you or probably someone else. So I don't know. Mark's a weird dude, but changed my whole life. And he's one of my best friends now.
He cold called.
Yeah, essentially. Oh, that's amazing.
I do that for every job I want now. Hello, amazing. I want to be governor.
I don't think it all can happen that way, but it did for Jeff.
I read, because I don't watch every season, but I know pop culturally what's going on. Yeah. So I know who Boston Rob is.
Right.
He is a clear fan favorite, a name that pops up in reality shows in general. He was supposed to never do this again, and now he's on the new season.
Yeah, it's true. Well, he won, and he met his wife on the show. Mm-hmm. She won, and they got paid, I think, $1 million by CBS to get married on CBS. So they've made some money off of Survivor. But when we called him, if you know Boston Rob, he is the quintessential blue collar guy's guy. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes him because he's funny. He can build a house. He can play poker. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a hot wife and four cool kids. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was going to say no, and we called him, and I said, hey, man, I know the answer is no, but what if we did, like, an all-winter season? And he said, let me talk to Amber. Mm-hmm. And
Is
that your impression?
No, it was terrible.
Did you talk to
him? I knew it was bad.
Wait,
I usually do
Hold on, do it again.
Let me try again.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Okay.
Let me.
Boston
God,
Rob.
It's gone.
Okay,
here we go.
Here
Boston
we go.
Rob.
Let me talk to Amber.
Is Arnold,
right, so
not very good.
Is Arnold, Schwarzenegger his manager?
He's a little Terminator-ish.
Okay.
Let me talk to Amber.
A little better.
Not much.
In a couple you hours, lost it. You would get it.
I have lost it this morning. I didn't sleep last night.
Oh,
maybe
no.
That's it. Because I'm so keyed up for the K-Rock interview, I just couldn't sleep. But.
So focused.
All right, we need to take a break. But when we come back, we'll talk about all of the winners and how the game is going to be played. There's a couple different rules this season.
Maybe the second half of the interview will be better than the first
half. Well, don't do Boston Rob.
Right.
Okay. All right.
That's it. We'll be right back.
Jeff Probst.
Mm-hmm. Yo. 40th season of Survivor debuts tonight at 8 on CBS with a 2-hour episode.
Two of the best hours we've ever done.
Would you say that if you were lying?
He said that every time he's come in.
Okay.
Well, that might be true.
No, you haven't, actually.
But this is, without question, going to be the best season we've ever done. It's that good.
Didn't you say at one point that you would never have a winner's?
Yes, because I had talked to these guys over the years, and anytime somebody wins, they're like, I'm never coming back. I won.
Right.
I could never win again.
Don't want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what CBS kept saying. They said, let's do an all winners. And I said, nobody's going to do it. And then this guy, Kelly Call, said, have you called him lately? And I said, I have not. That sounds like a very smart producing idea. And one by one, it's kind of that thing of when you say the words, it's our 40th anniversary.
Sure.
20 years. Don't you want to be a part of it? They all...
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah.
If someone hasn't been watching so closely over the past few seasons, can they just jump in here?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've stopped hyping Survivor in terms of you should watch because we have our audience. But I will say this. Kids dig Survivor. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a family and for some reason you have not figured this out, it connects to them. And you talk to when I talk to a kid, they'll go, I know I could do it.
Yeah.
They're 8 years old.
By the way, they probably could.
They probably could.
The 8-year-olds probably could.
But you don't need to know their backstories.
No.
You tell it in the
show.
Oh,
yeah. I see what you're saying. No, this is a great season to either get back in or watch for the first time. And the premiere tonight is 2 hours. They're so packed that if you don't like it after 20 minutes, turn it off. You're never going to like it. This is as good as it gets.
Great.
And
Love
it's all—it's 20 contestants, and they've all won previous seasons.
Right.
One, first place.
They've all won. They've all won $1 million. And if you're a Survivor fan, you know that even though it is a game show, it's actually this ass-kicking 39-day social experiment, human poker. It just taxes you in every way. So to win is a pretty big accomplishment. You don't get there easily.
Right.
And you
especially
feel
against
that.
Other winners.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. You really feel in the first few minutes that all 20 of them realize everybody here has done what I've done, and that's going to ratchet up the game.
Sure.
Anything you can tell us out of the ordinary this season?
In the Boston Rob accent or just as
Yes,
name?
Please.
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, I hope
Come
we can understand
man.
It if he does it.
No. Well, one of the things that is interesting is that when you play Survivor, you join this Survivor club. Now you're one of the... And they go to all these parties
like
and charity events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some of them have dated. Some of them have become friends.
Okay.
And now they're on this... show together and everybody knows everybody's connections. And so it's a weird meta moment that we've been on so long that personal lives are now going to play out in the game. And if you've been watching Survivor, you know these players. And so you kind of, it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff of, well, you and I played poker together and they know that. And
Do you have to step it up as far as challenges because they're all winners?
Yeah, we're bringing something new into the game, which is money, currency. The idea being that at some point, every society has a currency. You stop bartering and you develop something that we all agree is worth this amount.
Okay.
So we're doing that. We've introduced these things called fire tokens. And they
fire tokens.
Really, they're hot when you pick them up, man.
Sure.
But it really does change the game because now there's money. And money's going to change everything. And that's going to usher in a new era of Survivor moving forward where money rules.
And they can buy things like a snack, that type of thing?
They could. They could buy an advantage. They have to earn them. Mm. It's complicated, but it's a whole different dynamic.
Is Elizabeth Hasselbeck the most famous person to come through Survivor?
Probably.
Yeah. People forget that that's where her origin's from.
Yep. Season 2.
Thank you, I didn't remember that. Or be very mad at you. Yeah.
I didn't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Second season.
She was a standout star in what, like, early second
season. She was. Yeah. When Elizabeth played in the year 2000, she was this adorable young shoe designer. Mm-hmm. And every guy wanted to date her and every girl wanted to be like her.
Yeah.
And she quickly, you know, sort of got some momentum going and got a career going and obviously has a huge career.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with her politics or not, it's different. But she was a young girl at that point.
Yeah, it's crazy. You would think, I don't know, I guess I would think other people have come through to do entertainment, but I'm not sure a lot of them have really tried.
Well, I think what it's, in the very beginning, there was this whole idea, oh, these guys are all going to be stars.
They'll become famous.
Yeah.
For other things than Survivor?
Yes, but I think what people realize very quickly is, like you guys, to host a morning show, radio show, it takes more than just, you know, having some charisma. It's a whole different thing. And
I'm taking notes. I need to know this too. Give me a second. Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah,
like,
no, you're
just
right.
Because you're it's famous easy, or you were funny on a show doesn't mean you can run a show or doesn't mean you can carry
different
something.
Skills. Yeah, they're different skills. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I can see
when
that.
When you guys hear those pauses, like a little momentary pause. Mm-hmm. Does any part of your brain go, somebody talk?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Because I felt it, and I felt like I should say something. Yes.
You jumped in and saved
us?
We should have let it sit.
Oh, I would have loved it.
Right?
I love those uncomfortable moments. Yes.
Oh,
it would have been great. You could have suckered me.
And this is $2 million this season.
$2 million.
No.
That's the most you've ever given out.
Yes, and it's a lot of money.
That's great.
That's incredible.
You
know, the pressure million for $2 million is huge.
For 39 days, it is a lot of dough.
Wow.
Do people, like, compared to past seasons, do you think that it's been amped up as to what people will do because it's more money?
Nah, it's a pretty much hardcore game.
Always.
Anyway, people play very, very, very hard.
Mm. And especially these people who won former seasons, of course.
Yeah.
Maybe they play the hardest.
Yeah. Survivor is just it's just really cool adventure where you're living in a jungle for real.
Yeah.
With the rain and rats, trying to survive on a little bit of rice, or maybe you can catch a fish, and then you're playing this human game of poker.
Right.
That you're maneuvering and cajoling and persuading and lying and then aligning with somebody and then betraying them for 39 days, 24 hours every day, and it's exhausting. And when the season is over,
so bad at this.
No, this is the worst. I mean, you know how soft my hands are. This is not for me. This is not my game. This is not my game. Do we want to do 60 seconds?
Yeah,
do it. We should. Do you know what this is? I'm going to just ask you some questions, top of mind.
You got it.
What's your answer?
60 seconds with Jeff Probst.
If you could join the cast of any TV show, past or present, which would you choose?
Sopranos.
If you could know when you're going to die and how you're going to die, would you want to know?
No.
Mm, is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Do you think it's weird that Tarzan has no beard?
Yes.
Right? It's insane.
Never thought of that.
And he's an expert. Yeah. He's an expert.
Right?
Yeah.
What's he shaving with out there?
Right.
If animals could talk, which one would be the biggest a-hole?
The raccoon.
Mm-hmm. Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Twizzlers, and please don't tell me Red Vines
are
the
worst. That's ridiculous.
Get out. Twizzlers. Get out. Should we finish?
Red Vines are better.
Should we even finish? Did you have a nickname growing up?
Portable Probst.
Why?
Yeah. I know. And Pabst Blue Ribbon. Because I grew up in Wichita, our imagination was limited, and I was the shortest guy in school until like seventh grade. Yeah. Right. And then I grew to a whopping 5'10".
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
God, no.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I mean, other than the Twizzler.
I mean,
other than
the Twizzler thing.
You know, I get into this all the time, the Twizzler thing. That's what I want. When I'm on the plane, which is when I eat Twizzlers, I don't want Red Vines.
In a movie, though?
Yeah, in a movie. Some popcorn, some Milk Duds, Junior Mints.
Sorry,
well,
you got to go.
Now I'm not watching.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Love the
2-hour episode premieres tonight, 8 p.m. CBS. Mm-hmm. And Jeff promises his 2 best hours of this show ever.
Right. It's so good.
And Portable Probes would not lie to us.
That's correct.
Not, not
if not, I'll come back here and clean your studio tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning, Allie and Jensen. Allie is here for a final look at what's happening.
I feel like yesterday was all news catering to me, is essentially what was happening. So you've got the huge concert happening May 2nd, the Cruel World Fest, set to take place again May 2nd at the grounds at Dignity Health Sports Park in Los Angeles. Here's the lineup, you guys. Just, again, this is news for me. And anyone,
it's a show for Ellen.
And anyone with taste. Morrissey, Bauhaus, Blondie, Devo, Echo and the Bunnymen, The Psychedelic Furs, Violent Femmes, The Church, English Beat, P.I.L., Gary Numan, She Wants Revenge, Gene Loves Jezebel, Berlin, Missing Persons. There are about 20 more names I haven't said.
That's enough with that. Stop right there.
I will stop right there because you're saying to yourself, how do I get tickets? Tickets for Cruel World will go on sale this Friday, February 14th at noon. But there's a pre-sale starting tomorrow at noon as well. Fans can register for a pre-sale code via the festival's website. But again, big happenings going down on May 2nd, you guys.
It's a cool festival.
Unbelievable. A new one-day festival. It's like they know. They're like, Allie, what do you want? And then everyone but Morrissey. But the rest, I am so in. And it's being put on by Golden Voice. They put on Coachella. They put on Stagecoach. They know what they're doing. So,
knock, knock.
Who's there?
Morrissey.
Morrissey who?
Open the door. He's not there.
Oh, because he canceled?
Yep.
Okay.
That's
cool.
The joke.
All right. Got it. That is a man playing a PVC pipe, everybody.
Jensen found the Armenian comedian clips.
Oh, no.
I love the guy.
We move on to amazing news for Allie number 2.
All right.
So we did a segment about a month ago where we talked about our favorite movies that have extremely low Rotten Tomato scores, which a lot of those movies are in Kevin's wheelhouse. Those are his favorite movies.
I mean, 18 to 30. Sort of my wheelhouse.
Is where you're at.
Yeah.
And then we were shocked because your choice was a much higher number than mine. Mm-hmm. Jensen, your choice was...
Speed Racer was in the early 50s.
Early 50s. Then I got to my choice, which was P.S. I Love You, and a shocking 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's beyond an F. That's like, I think you get 10 just for having credits.
Listen,
being
just
in
by
focus, you get like
focus,
another one,
two, yeah.
Well, then that wouldn't really explain why P.S. I Love You is finally getting a sequel.
Yay!
Yay, you guys!
That's such good news.
Yay! They've acquired the film rights to Postscript. It's the follow-up novel to P.S. I Love You. Here's where they're going to take it. They're going to find her story, Holly, played by Hilary Swank, 7 years after her husband's death when Holly's sister asked her to tell the story of P.S. I Love You letters on her podcast. Totally timely. She has
not interested.
Oh, come on. By the way, do you want to know how much that movie made in 2007?
Please.
$156 million.
Wow.
So Rotten Tomatoes, you can take your 25% and suck it.
Well, a lot of famous people in that movie, right?
Yeah.
Lisa Kudrow.
She was in it.
Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Gerard Butler.
A lot of people. They're going to get most of them coming back, I think.
I would hope Ghost Gerard Butler comes back.
Right. Well, they'll do flashbacks or whatever.
Yeah. It's going to be so good. Shut up, Muggs. Honestly, I could feel you wanting to say something.
Definitely.
What are you thinking?
Nothing at all.
That's the most common answer he's ever said. If you ask him at any point, honesty. That's usually his answer.
I did not see that coming. I really didn't. Did any of you watch To All the Boys I've Loved Before when it came out on Netflix?
No, I
don't think so.
I just looked at Destiny. No idea. She, biggest smile broke out and just saying, yeah.
That's because it was on.
Yep.
It no, it is. It blew people out of the water. People loved this movie. It was a rom-com. It was very sweet.
Why do you keep talking about movies we've never heard of?
Well, a lot of people have heard of this one because it was huge on Netflix.
Yeah, Destiny and you, yeah. Destiny, you watch that show where people meet when they dance for the first time. That's the...
Flirty Dancing.
Flirty, yeah. Dancing.
Flirty Dancing, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, definitely. You guys are in good company.
This movie did gangbuster numbers on Netflix.
Right.
Now, when I tell you the second part of the story, you're going to say that can't be true.
Okay. There's a sequel.
Well, no, there is a sequel. It's out today.
Okay.
And Netflix is making it available to everyone. You don't even need a Netflix account to watch it.
What?
So you might be saying, well, then why would they do that?
But great question.
It's just because they love love. I've said that about Netflix before. Hmm. They
I've
love
never heard you say that.
Love. So you can watch it. Non-subscribers can watch this, I think, through like March or something. I might have made that up. Through March 9th. Through
this
March
is a Valentine's
9th.
Day promo kind of
exactly.
thing. Got it. Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
They love love at Netflix. So you can watch To All the Boys I've Loved Before, the sequel starting today, even if you don't have Netflix. And then you're going to watch it and go, why don't I have Netflix? Why do I live
it.
Under a rock?
Right.
And then you buy it, and then Netflix is like, suckers. I mean, they're smart.
Just you and Destiny, huh? Watching these rom-coms.
I give a call right now.
Nope. Don't call.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right.
We're good.
I brought this story up earlier, and I really feel like it needs to be mentioned. Valentine's Day is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you are going to make your man, or your man is going to make your lady, whatever, you're going to make a meal for your loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're not great in the kitchen. Maybe you're borderline horrible in the kitchen. Don't worry. As long as you set the tone with lighting and a tablecloth, that's going to trick them into thinking it's better, because they did research and they found people who ate the same food in different settings rated the food as better quality and less salty when they ate it in a room with lights dimmed and a tablecloth.
Lights dimmed
so
that you can't see the food because it's nasty looking?
Mostly.
Okay.
I mean, it's not about your plating, but I thought that was so interesting. If it's a nice kind of ambiance, your brain tricks you into thinking the food is better than it is.
I smell like beef, of course.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
That's a strange
girl.
Thing.
Mm.
So what you're thinking is the more you manipulate someone to think you're doing well, they're going to think you're doing well.
Yeah.
That is what she said.
Good to know for relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's good advice.
Have you ever gone on a date where, like, full lights? No. You go somewhere sort of dark.
Yeah, club lighting.
Club lighting. That type of thing.
Lie to them up front.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you've got your little chicken cutlet cutouts in your bra. Mm-hmm. You take those bad boys out, and they're like, wait, are you a dude? And you're like, no, I'm just a girl with small breasts.
Chicken!
That type of thing.
Wow.
Listen, we've got a
roller
lot
coaster
of tricks.
Right there.
It's what we do, and you guys fall for it every time. You want
right.
to know why? You're not bright. You're not bright.
What if you eat a really expensive meal in a terrible setting? Just the awful, like,
have
a war zone.
Beautiful steak.
I'm sorry, a war zone.
A war zone was his example.
If you want to create a war zone.
It's Valentine's Day, baby. You know where we're going.
What the
Darfur.
Hell?
Darfur. Let's go.
Yeah, what if? That's
war
a great
zone.
Question, Muggs.
You know, this Valentine's Day, we're going to Kuwait, and I'm bringing nice food with me.
Unbelievable. You are a gift.
Thank you. You better really mention are. Somebody on that birthday list that you haven't been.
Oh.
She's not even in birthdays yet.
She's going.
I'm looking at her
looking at birthdays.
Okay.
Who can it be?
Josh Brolin. I've mentioned him.
Yeah, yeah,
Arsenio
that.
Hall. Mentioned him. Again. Stop
doing that.
Christina Ricci.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Posner.
Yep. And somebody else on that list that you haven't.
Oh. I can't fucking.
I can't fucking. We're not in love anymore. I keep forgetting that I'll never be the same again.
It's Michael McDonald's birthday?
That is.
Except it's Michael McDonald from Mad TV.
It's not.
It's not.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Thanks for your input, Mug.
That was, holy moly, that was good.
It was quite the journey. And that's what's happening.
Mugs, where are you going?
I will be at Del Taco at 10644 Alondra Boulevard in Norwalk today. We are giving away free
K-Rock Storm's Bear Mountain Lift tickets to the first 50 people in line. Wow. That is, of course, going to be on February 29th with Lovely the Band. So the first 50 people in line will get those lift tickets and also some free chicken tacos, maybe.
Yeah. It's good delivery right there. Thank you, Bugsy. 5 p.m. commercials tomorrow morning.
Knock, knock.
An all-new show, What's Up with Florida? Dr. Drew is on the program tomorrow. And more tickets to see the 1975 at the Forum or at the Five Point Amphitheater and qualify to see him in Madrid, Spain.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning.